This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to another week of the Chaser Report. It is Monday, the 4th of July. Welcome back, Chris, Dom and Floyd.
Yeah.
And that's Charles Firth.
We haven't left all weekend.
We live here now. So look, protests shut down Sydney for several days last week. There were nurses, there were climate protesters, train drivers. Everyone was out protesting last week. Getting to work was completely impossible. So it was just like an ordinary day in Sydney, basically. A group called Blockade Australia was responsible for many of the moves. Things like shutting down the Harbour Tunnel. I've got to say, I think Blockade Australia were not all that impressive, to be honest. I mean, Scott Morrison blockaded Australia for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. He's the king of that. They also tried to draw attention to climate action. This was their plan. They wanted to draw attention to climate action by shutting down the train lines, a genius way to get everyone into their cars.
Yes.
It's a little bit like if Greenpeace campaigned against whaling by just dynamiting some of the fuckers. I mean, and then the nurses went on strike as well. And I've got to say to them, congratulations for holding on for 2 years of a pandemic before you'd had enough. I mean, they've got, you know, a job that involves long hours. They've got COVID everywhere. They've got sexual harassment from perverts who watch too much Benny Hill as a child. It's a horrible job to do. So good luck to the nurses. And also striking last week, we had train drivers who wanted Blockade Australia to fuck off out of their trains. So I want
to. And you've forgotten, there was also teachers. Teachers went on strike.
But we
last
do forget
Thursday.
The teachers, don't we? Yes, we do. So I want to ask the panel, and we'll start with you, Charles, because I know you're a lefty on these sorts of things. I mean, what is the line between legitimate protesting and just fucking irritating, right? Is it okay to sign a stern petition, but not okay to park your car across the entrance to the Harbour Tunnel?
Yeah, look, I think when you're looking at a global apocalypse, the convenience of commuters on a Tuesday morning is far more important than solving climate change. So, yeah, I totally agree that we should lock these people up. 2 years in jail, $20,000 fines. Lock them all up.
Yeah, the one I kept hearing about was this girl from Lismore who drove a car.
None of them do, usually.
And no, that's the thing. She parked it across the Sydney Harbour Tunnel to blockade. Now, if you're an environmentalist, would you be driving a car to your protest? Or shouldn't she have just taken the bus and then taken the bus driver at gunpoint to make him...
Yes.
Or do what Greta Thunberg does. She gets a boat everywhere, every time she speaks. They should have chartered a boat and rammed it into the Sydney Harbour Tunnel.
And to be fair, there were plenty of those in Lismore.
So I just sort of thought mixed messages. Are you pro-car or anti-car?
I think she was pretty anti-car.
You think, right.
Like she fucked off tens of thousands of people.
From a car.
I think it's just as bad that people who stop to sign a petition on the sidewalk and get in my way. That's arguably more annoying than
we
a car blocking
the
tunnel.
We should have fines on people who block the
$20,000 fines.
Yeah, I'm going to start a petition against people who get people to start a petition.
No, but the thing is, like, you can sort of say, oh, it's very inconvenient, but what else are people to do? Like voting doesn't help.
Well, no. Well,
petitioning doesn't help.
Wasn't that the argument, though, that we've just had a change of government and they'd barely given the new Labor federal government any time to really set their climate targets? I know they had them as policies, but with any negotiation with the crossbench, maybe let's see what the new targets will be. It was almost like they were angry just after a really good development in the climate wars, which is to get rid of the coalition.
Labor doesn't do anything, and then then get stuck in.
Yeah, that's right.
That, I would have done that. I would have waited a year for certainty that Albo would be as disappointing as Scott Morrison on all climate matters.
I think we're pretty certain, Chris. Right. So
and I guess my follow-up question, aren't there better ways of reaching the public in 2022? I mean, what I do whenever there's a protest every single time, you don't have to go. All you do is just get a news photo and just Photoshop yourself into it and put it on Instagram. Instagram. You've raised awareness and you've virtue signaled. That's all you have to do, isn't it, Charles? Yeah. I mean, I remember back in the day, you actually broke a window at Sydney Uni, the main quad, over a VSU protest. You can deepfake that shit these days, Charles.
No, and we actually... because I broke a window. It was actually Craig... Probably shouldn't reveal this. Craig actually broke the window.
Craig Kelly.
But I took the fall for it because he wanted to become a lawyer or something. And I climbed through and got into terrible trouble, got arrested.
You got into the Senate meeting of the University of Sydney.
And the only thing... And we're protesting against... It wasn't VSU. We were protesting against upfront fees. Because back then, there was no such thing. You could not charge... A university could not charge fees, upfront fees, to a... student in Australia. And so I got into the meeting and the whole point was to say, no more fees, no more fees. And instead I just went, ow, my arm! The police officer had got and all I said was, I'll go peacefully!
And he went into the Sydney University Senate, the only body more impotent than the federal Senate.
Yeah. Anyway, point is, we succeeded. We actually won that campaign and there are no university fees for students in Australia.
Yeah, the people are just very perplexed about whether he's being sarcastic. Yeah. Yes, he is, ladies and gentlemen.
I just haven't checked since 1997 about whether they've...
The reason they don't know that is because they were full-fee students.
All right, so there you go.
It does always interest me. And look, we're all for the protest movement and like, there's been some amazing civil rights marches and acts of just public disobedience. But you know like how... Most public art forms evolve. Like when you look at the history of music, where it's sort of gone from classical and into jazz and then into pop and rock and hip hop. I don't think anyone who's ever protested has changed the melody of their chant in fucking 500 years.
This chant has got to go.
Can we not hire Gautier or like, you know, Briggsy just to write a new bloody tune?
You know what? I actually remember the most awkward chant ever, and it was from that very protest. This is honestly what they were all shouting, and I was there too. Van Stone and VCs say that we must pay fees. Bullshit, come off it. Education's not for profit. They need Jay-Z on that shit.
Where's Kendrick?
Yeah. And I think that's why the protest ultimately failed. People were like, what?
I'm just going to defend the people from Lismore for a second, which is, I don't know anything about them, but I do know that a few years ago, all the people in Lismore were part of the Lock the Gate coalition. Who here knows about Lock the Gate? Which was a remarkably successful campaign that actually managed to, just through sheer force of physical protesting, literally locking on and putting their sort of arms in cement outside every farm that was about to be fracked and, you know, forest that was about to be cleared to be fracked, they managed to not only get fracking banned in that sort of region of New South Wales, they managed to get the Conservative state government at the time to ban fracking completely from New South Wales. They were that effective. So, you know, yes, I tend to agree that most protests sort of are incredibly cliched and things like that, but actually, you know, if you're prepared to put your body on the line, you can actually...
Your arm.
...succeed. Yeah, you put your arm on the line. Yeah. Because they'll concrete their arm in these metal sort of arm jackets, and it takes all day for the police to come and use sort of angle grinders to remove the protesters. And by then, the workmen have left and, you know, they've got to start again the next day. And then they just do it again and again.
It's like the suffragettes in the UK. They were using their bodies. They like... that sounds wrong. Let me rephrase that. But they were like chaining themselves to Parliament and then refusing to eat. So like it does have to be extreme to have an effect. So maybe...
But it also proves Chris's points that... the chaining stuff is not new, and protest methods have not evolved.
I remember, I don't know if anyone else remembers this, Annabelle Crabb, who, you know, we generally love and is really smart woman and great brain. She once wrote a column in her regular piece in the Fairfax media, as it was then, asking these very questions, sort of expressing surprise that the protest movement hadn't really changed their tools in years. And Annabelle was generally always on the side of the left, and, you know, everyone sort of agreed in whatever Annabelle says is gospel. And she got a bollocking. Like, everyone sort of read it as, oh, you have no respect for the protest movement, which wasn't the intent of her piece. She was just sort of, I guess, sort of doing what we're doing a little bit tonight, expressing surprise that the mode of protest hasn't really changed. And that's genuinely interesting. As our media evolves and we get more and more sophisticated about the ways we can be heard, it's interesting. People use the most analog strategies available to them, which is to stand in a street with a handwritten placard and rhymes that wouldn't pass the test in the worst Pam Ayres poetry contest. And it's sort of, whatever works, I mean, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chaser Report, the podcast where we concur with an unpopular Annabelle Crabb column from many years ago.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The Chaser Report. Less news, less often.
Let's move on to some other news here. And the census results, it says today on my piece of paper, but of course, last Tuesday.
We talked
Tuesday
about this last Wednesday.
Yeah,
didn't we?
And
I've still got stuff in the tank.
It's very interesting, very interesting. They say that less than half of us now follow Christianity. It's down to 44%.
Wow.
There's heathens in there. You disgust me, sir. Down from 52% in the 2016 census, which is the least ever. Which makes me think that means, I mean, 44% of us are still on Team Jesus and apparently have absolutely no idea what's been going down in churches recently.
I think it's just that the other 8%...
I think we know who's been going down.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make, right?
This is right.
Going down is absolutely fine with me. If it's two adult Catholic priests, that's absolutely fine. Not a problem at all, except in their religion. But it so rarely is.
But I think the drop-off can be explained by that 8% are now in jail. Isn't that the...
Do you not get to fill out the census if you're in jail?
Yeah, I don't think you... Well, do you? I don't know.
The right it's taken away from you.
You can't get out of it, can you?
They're one of the few communities for whom it's a pleasurable activity because they've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I think prisoners do fill out the census.
Where were you on the night of the census?
Yeah. The police already know the answer to that question. I want to conduct a little census of my own. Just with a round of applause, who in the room feels icky when I say the words Catholic youth pastor? Give me a round of applause if that seems icky. Yeah. You shouldn't applaud that. That is disgusting. And when I say Hillsong, how many of you immediately... There we go. I mean, all I want to say about Hillsong is, you know, Justin Bieber went there and God paralysed his face, ladies and gentlemen. So the thing is...
That could have been, to be fair, more for the music than the religion.
And the thing to note about Catholic priests, they've done a lot of brand damage. I mean, okay, they may not be going to hell, but they're going to Pell, which is even worse. Sorry.
Tom Knight, ladies and gentlemen, the master of the pun. Still got it.
Australia's next ambassador to the Vatican. So I want to ask the panel, I mean, how has Christianity fucked this so badly? And fucking their brand is frankly the least of their worries at this point. Is it just the sex pests or are there broader problems within the church?
I think... I think it's broader. I reckon the big thing wasn't Christianity. It's like it's all about guilt, but like social media makes you feel more guilty now.
Oh, that's so true.
I'm like, God, who? I don't care. Social media, I'm like, about myself.
Yeah, I used to have to go to church to hate myself, and now I just look at Instagram.
Look at my phone, yeah. Just get reminded of my screen time rather than saving myself a marriage.
I wonder if it was strategically foolish to take the face of the church from Jesus and turn it into Scott Morrison. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it was sort of that, I don't know, I was sort of down with Jesus. I
he's got some good points.
I didn't believe he was divine, but he was sort of a dude. Then you've got Morrison doing this shit at, like, and I kind of thought, oh, maybe you're starting to lose us.
What do you reckon? I mean, it could be. I just think they need to partner with a better organisation. And this is the thing I think the church need. They need to do what you do when you've got a failing brand, which is new partnerships. And I think the group that they should hook up with is motorcycle gangs, because that is a brand that is very resilient, and there are always new vacancies in that organisation. And you can't tell me that there aren't some sex pest priests and gang members sharing cells already and you know, making those connections already. I think that could be very, very fruitful for them there. They could control the drug trade and the holy water and wine trade as well.
That would be a great place to do it, wouldn't it? Right, just come up and get your weekly stash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always thought, like, if you wanted to genuinely, like, fix the church and, like, boost congregation numbers, you've got to widen the options during the Eucharist. Like, at the moment, it's a very, very stale, oxidised port or a wine or something. If you had an open bar, top shelf, cocaine, ice, speed, ecstasy, anything. Yeah. Like, I'll take the spirit of Christ.
What would the speed represent? Is that the dandruff of Christ? is that the idea?
If you take LSD, you do see the Holy Ghost.
It's the earwax of Christ. Yeah. Isn't it?
It's always just been a very limited offering, hasn't it?
They should make the communion bread like, you know, sourdough and focaccia. Like, dip it in. Yes. Yeah, focaccia, dip it in some olive oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a caviar bump on it or something like that. Yeah.
If it was chicken crimpy shapes, we'd all go.
Oh, we'd all be there.
Yes.
There's actually a church. My parents went to this church in London, which apparently there's a full bar on the lower level. And if you go to the service, they just all go and get absolutely smashed on the body of Christ. And why not?
Yeah.
You know, it's a beautiful way to commute.
Well, I was listening to the head of Demographics Australia. He was talking when the census came out last Wednesday about it. And he was actually saying that the reason why Christianity had dropped so rapidly was because they had not aligned themselves with community values on a whole lot of key issues like gay marriage and all these sorts of things. They were just not keeping up with what people believe in this world.
Yeah, the risk also of sort of repeating exactly the point I made on last Wednesday's podcast.
I hate it when you cross-reference yourself a week later, Taylor.
I also wonder, and I'm sort of using my parents as a sort of barometer here, if it's more permissible now to sort of put your hand up and say no religion. Is it like my parents and so many, even people my age, I know, when confronted with the question of religion, it's like, well, they were always no religion. Yeah. Like they were always atheist or agnostic, but kind of thought, oh, I guess we're C of E, or I went to a Catholic school. So you kind of felt obliged on a public form to mark yourself as that. Now I think there's almost more freedom and permission to say, oh, it's okay. It's a bit like gender. You know, you can have no gender now. I think it's today, religion, oh, we don't have to have religion. It's okay just to say no religion. And I wonder if that, so yeah. We've always had as much agnosticism in the, not sort of going back to the 50s where John Howard and his values thrived, but from the 80s onwards, I suspect there was always a pretty high level of atheism and agnosticism that just wasn't being measured on the census.
But also, Chris, as soon as you tick the religion box, the census goes straight to the sex crimes unit of the police, which is a very big problem.
You know that that's actually true. I was talking to...
I want to hear and bring this one home.
That's not true, but I was talking to a prison guard the other day. And I was saying...
His regular parole meeting. That's right.
No, and I was saying, oh, well, you know, who do you guard? You know, like, and he said, so many Catholic priests, like just so many. Like he said, you know, the Royal Commission, you only heard about the sort of top cases where it was really, you know, like senior people. But there were just hundreds of people who were swept up in that and jailed and are still in jail, you know, several years later, from that whole period of, you know, 2016 where they had the Royal Commission. And you don't have that sense. And he said, go to any prison in Australia and there are just stack tons of priests. People from the... Yeah, priests from the Catholic
Church. It's almost a communion of priests. Yeah. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Bunch of them confessing to each other in the cells.
I always get a little bit nervous, though, when they ask to be transferred to a juvie prison.
Yeah. And that's sort of... Ooh.
Let's end the episode here.
If you want more Milk Run material, we can do that.
Our gears from Rode Microphones are part of the Acast Media Network. And forgive us, Father, for we have sinned in this episode of the Chaser Report. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.